is risen. And you say, you answer, he is risen indeed. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Amen. But you should say it like you believe in it. So I say, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Yeah. That is what you're supposed to do. Amen. Yeah, if I said, yes, we can. You say, yes, we can. You see, but say, Christ is risen. He's risen. Okay, it's risen indeed, they say. No, but the scripture says that if Christ is not risen from the dead, then your faith in him is in vain. Hallelujah. So this message of the resurrection is a very, very important message, and is a very important foundation of Christianity. Amen. Amen. It is the one thing that sets Christianity apart from all other religions. Amen. Amen. It is the one thing that sets Jesus Christ apart and puts him in a category of his own, you know, away from all other religious leaders and religious or founders of religions. Hallelujah. Which is that, like all other founders of religions, our Jesus was born, he lived here on earth, he died and was buried. For most people, that's where the story ends. And even if it continues, the continuation is that his tomb is in such and such a place, and his followers visit that tomb, you know, and go on pilgrimage journeys to visit such places from time to time. Hallelujah. Well, our Jesus, he also died and was buried. But that's where the story twists a little bit. Hallelujah. Because something supernatural occurs, which is that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Hallelujah. And so our Savior is not dead anymore. If he died last Friday, he is not dead as of this morning. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And that is because of the resurrection. Because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Even before he died, he started talking about it. And he started saying that he was going to die. You know, he said the Son of Man would be killed. He was going to be arrested and he was going to be put to death. And after 3 days, he was going to rise again. Hallelujah. And that is exactly what happened. Hallelujah. This morning, I want to encourage you to have more faith in the resurrection and in the faith that you have believed. Amen. That you have actually believed the right thing, and that Jesus Christ indeed is the Savior of the world and is everything he said he was or claimed to be, and it's put the resurrection as the ultimate seal of proof that he was not an ordinary person and that he was indeed sent by God to save mankind from his sins. Hallelujah. Turn in your Bibles with me this morning to the book of let's read from the book of Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. And let's read from verse 57. Matthew chapter 27 and from verse 57. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a large stone against the entrance of the tomb and went away. Hallelujah. And Mary Magdalene was there. Okay? Mary Magdalene, not this one. You know, the other Magdalene. Amen. So Mary Magdalene was there. And the other Mary sitting opposite the grave. Of course, this is not Chichi either. All right? So these are two different people altogether. Hallelujah. So Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary sitting opposite the grave. Now on the next day, the day after the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together with Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember that when he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I am to rise again.'" Hallelujah. Right. See, I told you it wasn't that Mary. This Mary has just come. So it could not have been her we were reading about. Hallelujah. Okay. Are you still with me? These people gathered with Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember that when he was still alive, that deceiver said that after 3 days I am to rise again. Therefore, give orders for the grave to be made secure until the third day." Hallelujah. Now, you're already saying that the man is a deceiver and he's just lying. He has no extraordinary powers and he is not the Son of God. That's what you're already saying. But it looks like, to be sure, you need to secure the tomb just in case he is who he says he is. Hallelujah. Then he says, "Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal him away and say to the people, 'He has risen from the dead.' And the last deception will be worse than the first." Hallelujah. And indeed, these people were prophesying, because this last reality, which they are calling a deception, is actually worse than the first. Are you getting what I'm saying? It was one thing for Jesus to die for us, but then to rise from the dead is what tops it all. To rise from the dead is to overcome the greatest enemy of all mankind. The only enemy that human beings have no solution to. The only enemy that even the great dictators of our world have not been able to save themselves from this great enemy. You know, they would protect themselves from all kinds of people, protect themselves, have security and everything. But once death touches them, that seems to be the one thing that nobody is able to do anything about. Hallelujah. And so when these people said that, as soon as the story starts to go around that this man has risen from the dead, then this is now a really bad case for us. It's like from that point on, we now have a really bad situation on our hands. And what they were saying was true. Because the story of the resurrection is real bad news for the devil. Hallelujah. It's worse than the first. You understand? The first one meant that the blood was shed for us and people's sins can be forgiven. Hallelujah. But then the second one, which is the rising from the dead, is the overcoming of the ultimate power of the evil one. Hallelujah. That one means that the man has risen. I mean, death, if death cannot hold you, what can hold you? Think about it. See, all human endeavors are stopped by the threat and possibility of death. Most of us, the main thing we are afraid of is death. You know, the main thing we would not like to happen to us is death. The main thing you would not like to happen to a loved one is death. Is it not true? It's the main thing we are afraid of, which we don't like, our unnamed enemy. You know, our unnamed fear. The fear, secret fear that we have, which we think about very often, you know, which occurs to us once or twice every day, you know, but which we do not talk about. And even if we have to talk about it, we have to refer to it as something. You know, so if someone is having a conversation with another person and they want to refer to or allude to death, they'll just say, in case something happens to you. Do you understand? Yeah. Even somebody comes to you and he's selling you life insurance, which only means one thing. Life insurance is not for grocery shopping. Life insurance is not for protecting your home. It only has one purpose, that when you die, then something will be available for those you leave behind. That's what life insurance is about. Is it not true? But the one who is selling you the life insurance, even when he's selling you life insurance, he cannot name the real thing that he's protecting, you know, or insuring you against. Hallelujah. He would just say that you should just buy this policy, you know, and this is a better policy than this one, you see, because when this one, with this one, if something happens, you know, so death is called something. That is the middle name of death. Wow. Hallelujah. Something. When something happens, just in case something happens. Because all human beings are afraid of this one thing. And that is just death. Hallelujah. It is a reason for guns. It's the reason why people want to have guns. It is the reason why people insist that they must be allowed to keep their guns. Mainly because they don't want this one thing to happen to them. They don't mind how many people the guns kill, so long as it doesn't kill them. Hallelujah. Nobody wants to die, says, what's his name, the guy from Apple, Steve Jobs. He says, of course nobody wants to die. Hallelujah. And so when someone has overcome death, you really don't want that story going around. Hallelujah. You really do not want that story going around. So even before they sealed the whole case, even before Jesus rose from the dead, there was an effort to prevent, number one, him from rising from the dead, and number two, the story from going around. You see, up to today, people believe that it is the disciples of Jesus who stole the body. Do you understand? They believe that it is the disciples of Jesus who actually stole the body of Christ from the tomb and claimed that he had resurrected. But you see that this is exactly what people believe today. It's exactly what the guys told Pilate back then. Said, this is what is going to happen. This is what we must prevent. Hallelujah. And as they sought to prevent it, it rather leaked, because you cannot contain God and you cannot contain and hide truth. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? So he says, therefore, he gave orders, verse 64, for the grave to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal him away and say to the people, he has risen from the dead. And the last deception would be worse than the first. Pilate said to them, you have a guard. Go make it as secure as you know how. Go and make it as secure as you know how. And they went and they made the grave secure along with the guard and set a seal on the stone. Hallelujah. So there is the grave, they have secured it, there is a stone, there is a seal, there is a guard. You have to be God to be able to break out of that. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. Because if first of all, even rising from the dead is a problem. Because as many of you know, rising from sleep is not even always easy. Is it not true that sometimes rising from sleep, I mean, your alarm clock is the one that gets punished for waking you up. Before you go to bed at night, you tell this poor clock, wake me up at 4:30. Then at 4:30, the clock just does what you told it to do. And then you take it and put it in water. And you bang it. It's amazing that that clock still works. But I think that if I had a clock factory, I think that one of the requirements should be for a good clock must survive slaps. As part of the quality control measures, when the clock is made, you must bring it for people to bang on it just to see if it survives. If it does not survive, it's not sold. Because that's what the clock is going to be receiving most of its life. Hallelujah. Rising up from sleep is not easy. Even sometimes when you wake up, you see that you are awake, but it looks like only a part of you is awake. Yeah. You are walking, but your mind is asleep. And until you walk straight into something, like I did two nights ago, then finally you get a jolt that wakes you up and wakes you up properly. Hallelujah. But our Savior was not struggling with waking up from sleep. We're not talking about sleep here. We're talking about waking up from the dead. Hallelujah. Rising up from the dead. Rising up from the condition that no human beings have been able to overcome. Hallelujah. It makes a big difference. If you don't believe this, then the Bible says your faith is in vain. Because this must be at the very heart or foundation of your faith. You have to be a believer in the resurrection of the dead. You have to be a believer in the fact that yes, Jesus Christ came. Yes, he lived. Yes, he died. But it didn't end there. He rose again. He rose again. He rose again. He rose again from the dead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And some people tried to prevent that story from going around. So they put him in the grave. They made the grave secure. Along with the guard, they set a seal on the stone. Hallelujah. So no chance. No chance. When they were leaving the grave, they were very sure that, you know, no chance. No chance that Christ had no chance, not by miracle, nor by any other method, you know, that he may have raised other people from the dead. But now, the one who raises people from the dead himself is dead. Hallelujah. He himself is dead. Amen. Jesus Christ was showing us that he is indeed the Son of God. Hallelujah. Now, when we talk about death, Jesus had many different encounters with death. Hallelujah. On many different levels, Jesus had encounters with death. One of the levels, or the most common level, was when people were sick and had sicknesses that could kill them. Hallelujah. Then he would stop death far away, even before he comes close enough, by healing them of that sickness. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So by healing them of that sickness, Jesus would stop death far away, even before he comes near enough, he has been stopped. Amen. Amen. Then Jesus went further, had other encounters with death, which involved people who had just died. Amen. It involved someone who had just died, like the centurion, like Jairus' daughter, I mean. Hallelujah. Someone who had just died. Jesus had been invited to come and pray for her while she was sick. And then he spent some time talking to some people and dealing with some other issues. By the time he finished, the person was dead. You know. So someone told him, you don't even have to bother to come. You've delayed. Now the whole thing is messed up. Hallelujah. But you see, the Lord was showing us something, that he has power not only to stop him at a distance, but even when he has arrived, he still has power to stop him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There are some of us who do not have much faith in God's miracle power when things have already happened. We have faith to believe that if God had moved before it happened, then maybe something could have been done about it. But now that the situation has played itself out, and the whole thing you were trying to avoid has arrived fully, then there is no point in trying to prevent it. But Jesus did this miracle just to show us that he doesn't only have power over death from a distance, but when death has actually arrived, he still has power to cast him out. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So they told Jesus that you don't have to come. It's too late. He said, let's go. It's not too late. Tell your neighbor, it's not too late. Jesus said, let's go. It's not too late. And he went into the house. And when he went, people were crying all over the place because she was just dead, fresh. So people were not even used to the idea yet. And they were all over the place crying and weeping. And then Jesus said, you know something? The child is asleep. She's not dead. And some people must have even felt offended by that. Now look at what the man is saying. First of all, he has come late. And then as he has come late, he's coming to insult us. That we don't know the difference between sleep and death. So Jesus sacked all the mourners. He said, look at what he's doing also. He's now coming to take over the dead body. You know. So they must have been very offended. But Jesus knew what he was doing. He knew it. He knew it. So he went and took the little girl's hand and said, little girl, arise. And the Bible says the girl woke up from the dead. She woke up from the dead. She woke up from the dead. Hallelujah. That was Jesus' second showdown with death. Do you see? Then there was a third one. The third one was dead a few days. And dead, the person is dead, and now they are taking the person to the cemetery. Do you understand? You're dead. They've had the funeral. Everything is finished. You've been packed into your box. You know, all your things, final greetings and things have been exchanged. They have arranged your flowers and things, and now they are sending you to your final resting place. And Jesus met them in the middle of the road. He saw them crying and crying and crying. When Jesus saw death, it's like, I know you, I know you. I've seen you before. I've met you somewhere before. And death knew this man. I know him. But the people around, they didn't know that Jesus had been conquering death. You know? And they saw the situation and they thought that maybe this one will beat him. See, the little girl had just died. So there's still a chance that she may have been alive. Do you understand? Yeah. Because recently, I think somebody here was sharing with me how her relative was, you know, in a state in a hospital where the doctors felt that, you know, it's finished. So let's pull the plug on him, you know. And everybody thought it was over. And yet it was not over, you know. So in spite of the doctor's advice that they should give them the authority to turn off the machines so the person can just go away, you know, they kept the person on the machine. And then the next day or so, he started to recover, you know. The person came around nicely, Do you understand? Yeah. And so if you see that these people would have killed a man for nothing. So perhaps some people may have thought that maybe in the case of the little girl, it might have been one of those instances, you see, where the person is so comatose that you really have to conclude that the person is dead, when in actual fact they are just in a really, really, really advanced stage of coma. Not dead. Hallelujah. But in the case of this man that Jesus met on the road, the person had been certified dead. And they had had the funeral and were on the way to bury him. The Bible says, as Jesus saw his mother wailing and crying, his mother was a widow. He had compassion on her. And the Bible says he commanded them, the funeral procession, to stop. You know, to stop. Can you imagine the hearse and all the other vehicles that have come to the funeral with their headlamps on and everything. And Jesus stopped them in the middle of the road. Said, it's showtime. I'm going to have another showdown with death. The Bible says he went and he touched the coffin or the casket and said, young man, arise. And to everybody's surprise, the young man rose from the dead. Hallelujah. Everybody must have wondered, what person is this? They must have run away even. Would you not run away? Yeah. If it's a miracle, I want to live to hear about it later. I'm sure they'll publish it in the newspapers. It will be on the internet somewhere and we'll read. But I don't want to be there to see it. Hallelujah. So Jesus woke the young man up and gave him back to his mother. What a blessing that was. But you see, the skeptics never believe such things. They still come up with stories. So I am sure that some people came up with another theory and they said that, yeah. See, similar to the little girl's case, this was maybe a further advanced case of coma. And if anything at all that Jesus did was to prevent human beings from making a mistake they commonly make, which is to bury people alive. Do you understand? So they must have explained it away. And Jesus said, one more time, you wait. So another time when they told him that his best friend, his name was Lazarus, was sick, and that the sickness was serious, that his death had started coming from a distance. And they were telling Jesus because they knew that at least he was good at stopping death from a distance. Do you understand? So as soon as Lazarus became critically ill, as soon as he was admitted to intensive care, they sent a message to Jesus Christ and said that, look, your friend is in a really bad shape. If you don't come right now, there will be a problem. Then the Bible says that Jesus intentionally stayed for a little while. Yeah, he said that, I hear you, but let me finish my business first. Somebody must have come to Jesus and said, did you hear what they said? They said, Lazarus. They said, not just somebody. That little girl, you didn't know her. And that young man, you didn't know him either. But this time, it's your buddy, Lazarus. He's sick and he's dying. This is your chance, Jesus, to save your friend. Jesus said, cool it. I know what I'm doing. Then he was there. They told him now that Lazarus is dead. And some of the people didn't feel it was worth discussing the thing anymore. So he's done it again. See, this man is fond of waiting and delaying. Letting situations deteriorate from bad to worse. So Lazarus was dead. Then not only was he dead, he also heard that they were having his funeral and he didn't go. And he stayed and they buried Lazarus. So by this time, everybody knew that now it's finished. Lazarus was dead, buried day one, day two, day three, and Jesus had not yet gone there. Then suddenly they woke up one morning. Jesus said, "Let's go to Lazarus' home. I'm going to that place." And people were wondering, "Why, do you have a donation or something you want to bring to the funeral? Are you bringing a donation? I mean, you can just use PayPal or something. We don't have to go all the way there to go and make this donation. Just use PayPal or, you know, mail a check, or I can get you a money order which you can make mail to his sisters, Martha and Mary, and then that would be it." Jesus said, "No, this is not about donation. I go that I may raise him up. Because I've been fighting death on different levels and you don't believe it. So I left this one so you would see it." Hallelujah. "I left this one so you would see that I have power even after the fact. Even after death has done its worst." And so Jesus intentionally stayed for 3 days till the body even would have begun to decompose. When Lazarus' sister saw him, he said, "Lord, thank you for coming, but it's too late. If you had been here, I know, I've been following you for some time. I know what you are able to do." You get it? And I know that if you had been here, you could have done something. But now, it's too late. By now, he stinketh. So by now, the body has started to decompose and it's too bad. Please, let's not embarrass ourselves. We've lost him. Let's just accept it. You know, don't come and revisit this whole thing. We are trying to bring some closure to the issue. Do you understand? And you want to revisit this whole thing. By now, it's too bad. You see, but Jesus did that miracle to show us that when God decides to reverse something, there is no state or stage in the matter that represents a stage where God cannot touch and reverse. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There are some of us who have issues in our lives. We don't even want to talk about it anymore because by now it stinketh. We don't want the odor to come back. You get it? Because it gives you such bad and terrible memories. Even to remember what happened, to remember what he did, to remember what she said, to go over the issue again. No, too much. It's okay. Let the thing be where it is. You know. Say, so Jesus, thank you very much for coming. If you have any donation, please give it now. We have some few bills left. You know. Jesus said, "I'm about to give you something more than a donation. You may actually have to go and collect your bills, the monies you have paid. You may have to go and collect it back. Because you may have to return the casket to the guy who made it." Hallelujah. Amen. So Jesus went there to the tomb. He said, "Show me where he's buried." He went there. They thought he was bringing a bouquet of flowers or something to come and just, he was coming to have a private, you know, mourning session. When my sister passed some years ago and I couldn't attend the funeral, a few years after when I got to go there, one of the first things my family wanted to do was to bring me to my sister's grave, you know. So they brought me over to the cemetery, and then we walked all the way to the back. And you know, they brought a special person who remembered where it was. So this person made me follow him all the way, and went to the place, and I saw my sister's name there. You know, he said, "This is the place." You know, then after that, he turned and walked away a little bit because he thought I wanted to have some private time, you know. And then, of course, it was a bit emotional and everything. But that was not the kind of thing Jesus had gone to Lazarus' grave to do. He wasn't looking for any personal, private mourning sessions. That's not what he was looking for. The Bible says he stood before the grave and he shouted his name. He said, "Lazarus, come forth!" He called his name from the inside there. I tell you, and Lazarus woke up. He responded to his name. And he woke up. Wow. When a person dies, his soul or spirit is not even in him anymore. So that is a miracle. You have to return the spirit into the person. You see? And then the person comes alive. Then, when he comes alive, he's even still sick of the thing that killed him. So, if you don't keep the miracle progressively ongoing, if you don't keep the reversal properly going on, he can easily die again. Because even though he's alive, he still has the sickness that killed him. Hallelujah. So, he called him forth, and Lazarus came bound in the things that he had been buried in. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. And one more time, Jesus had won over death. This time, death, he had raised someone from the dead who was dead, dead, dead with a decomposing body. And he had brought him back from the dead. But people still won't believe. They came up with stories. And they started to say Lazarus was his friend. And so they faked it. You know? They said, you see that smell they were talking about? They said decomposition. No, it's some meat that they had been hiding. You know, this dry meat that they have in the house. That's what was stinking. It wasn't this Lazarus. He was not really dead. This whole thing is a joke. How can someone raise someone from the dead? Then Jesus says, okay. Final showdown. This time, not another person. I myself am going to die. Yeah. I myself am going to die. And in 3 days, I'm going to rise again and give you the ultimate proof that the Son of Man, first of all, is the Son of Man. And two, he has power over death. Amen. And if he has power over death, then he has power over anything from nothing to death. Hallelujah. Because death is the ultimate. It's the worst thing that can happen to somebody. So when you meet someone who has power over the worst thing that can happen to someone, then you have met the ultimate person. You've met the only one worth meeting. You don't need to meet anybody else. Once you've met the one who died, he willingly surrendered himself to be killed. The Bible says he even had the opportunity. He was asked questions he wouldn't answer. The person who was asking him the questions told him, answer these questions because I have the power to set you free. I can make a difference to your life and to your circumstances if you just answer me. So you answer my questions. The Bible says, as a lamb led to the slaughter and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he openeth not his mouth. They asked him, are you the king of the Jews? He said, you have said so. You are the one saying that. And he wouldn't answer any question. And Pilate said, well, I don't know what to do with you. Looks like you are becoming suicidal. Looks like you are choosing death. You want to die. And this is your last opportunity. I'm asking you one more time. I'm asking you one more time, answer me. Jesus would not answer the question. Because he was not afraid of death. Because he knew it was time for the final showdown. That it was time to prove who is who. That with this issue and this match, we need to know and declare a final, permanent, the ultimate winner once and for all. Hallelujah. Amen. So he allowed himself to be crucified. And he died and was buried. And in 3 days, the Bible says he rose again just as he said he would. Hallelujah. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand that we serve a God who is alive. That he is not dead. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus is alive. He is not dead. Jesus is not in the grave anymore. Jesus is alive. The Bible says he rose up and he went up to heaven and sat by the right hand of God. Hallelujah. Such is the God you serve. If he has power over death, there is nothing in your life he has no power over. Hallelujah. Yeah. There are many things in your life you can do something about. But the one thing you cannot do anything about is death. But I know someone who can do something about even that. Hallelujah. And his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. When you meet the one who conquers man's ultimate enemy, I say you don't need to meet anybody else. Hallelujah. You don't need to meet anybody else. He's the only one worth meeting. When you've met him, you've met all there is to meet. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When you've met Christ, you've met all there is to meet. You've met anyone or all who are worth meeting are found in him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So the Bible says, in him is life, and the life in him is the light of men. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why the Bible says, he that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son has not life. Because if you haven't met him, then you have not met life. Hallelujah. Amen. Because he is the one who holds the keys, and he is the one who can save us. Hallelujah. Amen. So this Easter Sunday morning, I want us to be grateful to the Lord for such a powerful demonstration of power over death, and power over life's issues, and power over the most difficult things that face our lives. Power over sickness. I mean, if he can raise the dead, even after death has come and has finished and is gone, and the effects have been cleaned up, he can come and resurrect the issue. And how much more when death is still now coming? Are you hearing what I'm saying? When death is now coming, and you can see him at a distance, how much more can God do about that? There's some of us who are sick in our bodies and we are afraid. But that's death coming from a distance. But we are saying that if he can rise from the dead, then he can save you from that sickness. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If he can rise from the dead, he can save you from that sickness. Everyone needs a savior who can rise from the dead. You need a helper who has at least that much power. You need a helper who can shed his blood. A helper who can forgive sins. You need a savior who can forgive you and who can cleanse you. And when he says you are forgiven, you are really forgiven. The problem is when you haven't encountered his forgiveness. Do you understand? When he hasn't forgiven you, it's a problem. It's like being in a classroom with students, and then one student just comes and says, there's no class today. You know that maybe you should disperse, but there's a part of you that says, hold on, what if he's wrong? Because you can't be sure. He has said something, but that's something you heard did not come from the ultimate person. But when the professor steps in and he says, no class today, you don't even care what other students think. You just grab your stuff and then you're out of there. Because he is the ultimate person. Once he has spoken, it makes a huge difference. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When Jesus, who has conquered death, comes into your life, he makes a big difference. Hallelujah. Before you meet Jesus, you may have different encounters with so many different people with varying degrees of influence and power, but none of them really makes that much of a difference. Everyone influences your life up to a point. But here is the one who takes over your entire life and causes a revolution to take place in your life. Sometimes when you meet people who have met Christ, you can't recognize them. Yeah. Sometimes you can't recognize them. One of my friends said someone saw him on Facebook, and he had a photograph of himself preaching. And the person wrote, what? you can be a preacher, then I'll be the Pope. Hallelujah. Because everybody knew him. He was such a bad boy. But I don't blame him, because he met Christ. Hallelujah. When you meet Christ, he's able to turn your life around in such a way that people who knew you before will not even recognize you. Yeah, they will not recognize. They don't understand. They can't handle it. So you used to be one of those who had all those questions about Christianity. How come you have become an ardent believer in the same Christ? He did it to Paul, whose name was Saul. He turned him into the preacher of the gospel he was killing people for. Ah! Imagine it. Someone who is putting people in prison for a particular reason. Then he turns them around. Imagine if Osama bin Laden turns around and he had begun to preach to the Arab world that you have to stop hating America. Everybody's going to wonder what has happened to this man. And a good explanation could be that he has met Christ. Only Christ can make such changes. Hallelujah. To turn someone who was facing east towards the west. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet today as we celebrate the risen Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Said, and they went and they made the grave secure. And along with the guard, they set a seal on the stone, thinking, no chance, no chance, no chance. Hallelujah. Yet our Jesus rose up and broke through all those barricades. And he is alive. And he sits at the right hand of God today. Hallelujah. The scripture says, and he appeared to the disciples when he rose up. And then he ascended into heaven after that. And he sat down on the right hand of God the Father. Hallelujah. I don't know what situation faces your life today. But I am sure there may be something about which you are probably saying, there is no chance. There is no chance. And you know that it will only take a miracle. Unless it is by a miracle, there is no chance. But I know a God who gives chances where there is no chance. Do you understand? He breaks through situations where there is no chance. Where when the case is closed, he reopens it and says it is possible. Hallelujah. Now I want to give you a chance to commit yourself to that God and commit that situation to him also, and to trust in him and to say that Resurrection Sunday just means one thing to me. That if you can overcome the worst thing that can happen to a person, especially when it happened to you yourself, then I believe that you can overcome anything. Hallelujah. Bow your heads with me, everybody, in prayer. Just close your eyes and just pray to the Lord about that situation. You know what that situation is. Maybe it's something to do with your health. Perhaps it's something to do with your finances. Perhaps it's something to do with your career. Maybe it's something to do with a situation in your family. Something that has plagued your life for so long. You have even stopped addressing it because you have lost all hope for a change. But today, God is revisiting that issue and is saying that on Resurrection Sunday, if you would trust me, if you will trust me, if you will believe in me. Because if I can conquer death, when I am the victim myself, then I can conquer anything that has to do with you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Everybody just pray and say, Lord, I am trusting you. I believe in you. I believe in you. I believe in you. I believe in your power. I believe God raised you from the dead. And I believe you live today, interceding for me, that you can step into my situation and there can be a change. Where all hope is gone, for a change. Where everyone has given up and everyone thinks that there is no more chance for a change. Jesus says, no way. There is still a possibility. It is still possible if where I am concerned. Thank you, Jesus, for your blessing in the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Commit yourself to Him. Commit your future to Him. And say, Lord, my life is in your hands. I place my life in your hands. I consider you worthy. I consider you qualified to handle my life. I consider you the only one really who qualifies for my life to be committed to Him. Yes, in the name of Jesus. Lord, you are qualified. You deserve it. And so I commit my life to you. I commit my future to you. I commit my family to you. I commit my job to you. I commit this church to you. Just pray and say, Lord, it's all in your hands. In your able hands, in your powerful hands, in your capable hands, I commit the situation. And I promise not to worry about it anymore. I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to trust you to take care of it. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Thank you, Lord. Finally, today is a good day to receive Him as your Lord and Savior. It's a good day to rededicate your life to Him. If you found yourself falling away and gone far from Him, it's a good day to draw near to Him. Where will you run to if you're running away from God? Where can you hide? Where will you go? Where will you be? You cannot run away from God. God has stretched out His hand on this Resurrection Sunday and says, you can come to me. You can come to me and I will receive you. And I will give you rest in the name of Jesus. So if you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, pray with me. I am that person. I want to return to God. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want Him to be Lord over my life. I want to rededicate my heart to Him. I know I've messed up along the way, but I want to fix it and I want to put it back together. Really, where will I go without the Lord? What can I do without Him? How far will I go without the Lord? If you're here like that, while every eye is closed, please raise up your right hand and I'm going to pray with you. If this is the prayer on your heart, please don't delay. Just raise up your right hand and I'm going to pray with you. Is there anybody here like that this morning? Is there anyone here this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. Father, we bless your name and we thank you. We thank you for your blessing this morning. Why don't we all just pray and dedicate our lives to Him this morning? Say, Lord Jesus. Say with me, say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. I believe with my heart that God raised you from the dead. That you rose from the dead for my sake. You rose from the dead to prove to me that you can conquer my greatest fears and my greatest enemies. So, Lord Jesus, I surrender to you my heart, my will, my desires, my plans, my dreams, and my life, Lord. It's all in your hands. I trust you with it. You are trustworthy. You have earned my trust. And so I give it to you. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer. Thank you for your blessing. In Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Hallelujah.